Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 21, round 2 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, June 27, 2008. I am your host, Jeffro. I am the webmaster of jeffro2.0.com, as well as a contributing writer for weblogtoolscollection.com. If you would like to participate in today's show, you can either voice your opinion through the TalkShoe web client, or you can use Skype out, a landline, or a cell phone and dial 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID number is 34224. You don't need a TalkShoe account to participate. And if you do happen to call in via a phone or a landline or what have you, you can press star 8, and that will initiate the request to talk feature, and that will let me know that you want to say something in regards to a topic or what have you. So, hope everybody had a good week. I'm coming off a bad week. Last week I had issues where people could not hear the stream. It's just a bad Friday overall last week, so I decided to cancel the show. Not too many people showed up. We do have a couple of people here that's joined us in the chat room, and I thank you guys for stopping by on a Friday night. Stopping by, being part of the show, and we're going to try and get round 2 off of episode 21 here tonight. But first, I want to get through a little bit of errata, kind of a new section here I have in my show notes dedicated to correcting the errors in previous episodes. And here's one from Paul, and he writes in, consuming my dose of WordPress Weekly, he was sad to hear that we were discussing duplicate content, obviously without really knowing what duplicate content was. He didn't take offense to that, but he thought it was important that we should have the correct information on duplicate content on the show. So he goes on to, you know, give us the skinny on what duplicate content is. And he says, duplicate content is not many links pointing to the same piece of text. Duplicate content is full text versions of the same blog post on many different URLs. That typically happens if you fail to use the excerpt in your archive and category pages. That was the case with most WP themes a couple of years ago, but standards have moved towards only using full text on the single post pages. That being said, there could be a duplicate content issue on tag archive pages if you, for example, tag 10 blog posts with the exact same 5 tags. Then you would have 5 identical tag archive pages and thus risk having those seen as duplicate content. Paul goes on to give us a couple links to articles that discuss duplicate content in depth, including the Illustrated Guide to Duplicate Content in the Search Engines by SEO Moz and WordPress, Duplicate Content and Wrong SEO Plugins by Oz. So thank you, Paul, for that feedback. We'll be sure to keep that in mind next time we talk about duplicate content. And thanks for downloading and being a listener to the show. I really appreciate that. Next, I got a couple of announcements here for the show. The first being WordPress Weekly is now on Delicious. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, and it was also suggested by a couple of listeners a few weeks ago that I should do this, but I finally created an account on Delicious for WordPress Weekly. The account is called WP Weekly, all one word, and it's subscribed to the tag WP Weekly. Big surprise, right? So anyone out there who would like to submit a story to discuss on the show, tag it in Delicious with the tag WP Weekly, and I'll see it and add it to the show notes, and we'll talk about it on the air. So I've done this because this is one more way for you to interact with the show on a weekly basis, and you know, that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to establish a platform for users of the community to come on and, you know, participate in the show and just have this community atmosphere. The second announcement I have tonight is I've been giving this some thought now, and I'm 20 episodes into the show, but I'm looking for a co-host for WordPress Weekly, and this co-host would have to be someone who would be available on Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The co-host must be apt in knowing what is going on within the world of WordPress and needs to be a person I can depend on for showing up to do the show with me on a weekly basis. Collaboration will be done through Google Documents and things of that nature. And, of course, you got to be, you don't have to be a WordPress fanboy. I just need someone who is going to have a clue as to what's going on in the community. And when we collaborate on news topics, I need someone who's going to be there I can depend on to show up on a weekly basis to bounce ideas off. Because me winging it by myself, I think it's boring. I bet a lot of you think it's boring. You know, every week it's hit and miss, and with it being summertime and Friday evenings, 10 o'clock, you know, you guys are out there laying back a cold one or out there relaxing. I mean, you know, this is really a bad time slot. So at least if I have a co-host, at least there's a two-way conversation going on there, and I don't have to rely on people calling in, although if you can call in, I'd really appreciate that. So anyways, looking for a co-host, I'll write a post about that in the details. It's not a paid position. But hey, if you got anything you want to plug, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity to do so. With that being said, well, I've got a whole bunch of topics to dive into here. I've already covered the announcements, and the first thing I want to talk about is how much would you pay? How much would you pay for an installation of WordPress? This question was raised by Damian Mulley of Mulley.net in his post, Wanted People to Install WordPress Without Robbing Others Blind. Damian mentions that he is building a list of people with reasonable prices who will perform a default WordPress installation. Now, get a hold of this. According to Damian, there are a few people who are charging anywhere from 550 to 1,500 euros. If you equate that to U.S. American dollars, that's $857 to $2,338.33. That is just to do default installation of WordPress. That's just mind-boggling. And I see Jacob Santos here. He's probably got something to say in regards to this topic. And Jacob, what's going on? You're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, I will not charge that much because WordPress is free. But I mean, like, I express the same amount of comments as some of the others. Is that charging that much money is for something that's free, it's way too expensive. You're almost like ripping people off. But I do kind of agree with the other comments in that, you know, if they want custom mods or other features that are going to if you're going to spend like a week or two building it, then I can kind of see where that price would make sense.
Right. When I wrote the post on weblogtoolscollection.com, it's gotten an unbelievable amount of response back from the community. You know, it's upwards of up to 90 comments. And based on what I've seen, people are willing to pay probably anywhere between 20 to 50 bucks on average to have WordPress installed for them. Then you have the people who would just like to have a beer bought for them, and a lot of other people who would just do it for free just out of the kindness of their heart. Now, when this was brought up in the comments, and when I take a step back and think about it, if the person who wants WordPress installed for them wants to have plugins installed, wants to have customizations, wants to have a custom theme, then you know what? Then I can understand why the price would be so high. But for a default installation, this is robbing people blind if you're charging that much. I mean, would you agree?
Yes. I mean, it's going to take you about half an hour to upload, depending on your upload speed, and probably about, yeah, like 5 minutes to, okay, most of your time will be spent uploading, and that's it. It's only, if you've installed WordPress a lot, then it's going to take you a couple minutes, if even that, and then all you do is just say, hey, to the person, change your FTP password, and change your administration password, and you're ready to go. If they want plugins or what else, I could see that taking up the rest of the hour. But if I was going to do it, I would charge about 15 for an hour. And if they have any plugins, they can just give me a list.
Yeah, as Hans Engel in the chat room points out, which is something I mentioned in the article, I would first send them to installforfree.net or installforfree.wordpress.net to see if they'll be able to install it for them for free. And, you know, I bet you there's a lot of people out there who will charge an amazing amount of money to install WordPress, and they'll go in there and find out that the hosting account is on cPanel, and they'll go into Fantastico and do that one-click install. I bet you there's people out there who will do that.
That's if you have Fantastico, or, I mean, you might have a host like GoDaddy, or, you might have a host that has a one-click install that will install it for you for free.
Right, and I see Brad Williams has called in all the way from New Jersey, I believe. Is that right, Brad?
Say that again, Jeff.
You're calling in from New Jersey, right?
Yep, New Jersey now. I moved away from all the corn in Indiana.
All right, and as you probably listened in, as you probably heard, we're talking about how much would you pay to have WordPress installed for you, and I imagine, you know, we're here on the show, we're more experienced, but, you know, if you take into a question, if you take a brand new user who is just starting out with WordPress, doesn't know the community, doesn't know what's going on, understands that WordPress is free, maybe they don't understand, well, I don't know how they wouldn't understand WordPress is free, but if someone offers to install it for them for $1,000, $2,000, and that's the first offer they get, chances are the end user might think this is normal to be charged $2,000 to have it installed for them. What do you think?
I got to kind of agree with you as far as the business aspect of it. Since I moved out to Jersey, that's exactly what I've been doing. Is I started a web development company, and we specialize in all sorts of open source technology, and a lot of it is WordPress these days. I've probably done 30 installs in the last, you know, month and a half. But I mean, charging $2,000 for default install is pretty ridiculous, but I don't, you know, there is some value to you spending your time even on a default install of Windows. I mean, the average, you know, going rate for IT consultants is, you know, over $100 an hour. So even if it takes you a couple hours, there's still some value to the work that you put into it. However, I don't agree that, you know, $2,000 for a default install is correct, but I think there, you know, it's more than just saying, you know, I'll charge them $30 and that's it. And I think it also, you know, should be made a little more clear on, you know, I guess from the article perspective, is it just a default install and that's it? Are they talking, is there any training involved? I know a lot of the installs I do, I actually have to have a conference call and, you know, walk the client through how to actually use WordPress, and that takes another hour or so along with all the support afterwards. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. It could easily add up to 2,000, you know, 5,000 could add up to, all depending on what they want to do. But, you know, you kind of want to look at the whole picture as well.
Hey, it's not $30. It's an hour and a minimum of 1 hour. So,
what's
that
break down to on the 5-minute install?
A lot. But, hey, you know, it might take 10 minutes, 10 and 20 minutes to upload WordPress, depending on your connection speed and FTP client.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, default install, I've set up a lot for friends and just people that wanted to get into the blog and to test it out. And, you know, I always do those for free, anybody that's, you know, enthusiastic about it. But from a company perspective, when I'm working with clients, you know, there's going to be some value to the time I put into it.
So I think we've unanimously agreed that charging for default installation, anything over $50 is probably outrageous. But if you're required to do custom theming, custom plugins, installing plugins, configuring plugins, training, anything outside of the default installation, then the price probably becomes justified. Is that what we're coming to the conclusion to?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, then. Thank you guys for participating in that topic, and I'll put you guys back on mute here. And I'm going to cover the next topic, which has been somewhat controversial in the just in breaking news. WordPress 2.6 Beta 2 has been released not that long ago. I was going to cover how the Beta 1 was released, but Jacob Santos actually told me earlier before in the pre-show that Beta 2 has been released. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I think you should probably still talk about Beta 1 since there's actually information on it from the official core team on what's actually in Beta 1.
I need that CNN breaking news clip. I need
like a
soundbite.
Like a scroll bar. bottom and stuff. Yeah, that'll work.
This just in. But before we get to that, you know, you'll probably be able to contribute to this next topic, but it's about XML RPC to be disabled. According to Peter Westwood, WordPress 2.6 will disable the Atom Publishing Protocol and the variety of XML RPC protocols by default, as they expose a potential to be a security risk. So from WordPress 2.6 onwards, you will need to go into the Settings, Right page, and enable them individually if you want to use them. I've seen this brought up in either the testers or hackers mailing list. And it seems to be a controversial subject. I know the creator of Mars Edit, which is a third-party publishing tool, which takes advantage of the XML RPC feature in WordPress, is not too happy with this decision. And I don't think it's the decision to disable the feature. I think it's the way it was implemented, because I was reading the hacker's mailing list. And he upgraded his blog from 2.5 to 2.6, the beta, with the XML RPC enabled, and he upgrade disabled the feature. And this was discussed as if people were using that feature and found out it was broke, it would lead to erroneous bug reports being filed for something that's not really broken. I believe the implementation of the disablement of the feature is wrong, at least based on what I've read. What do you think so far?
I mean, there's really only a few people who work on XML RPC in the WP app, and so you don't have too many eyes looking at the external features, and so there might be a security issue, but the amount of people that actually use it to the amount of people who just log into a WP admin doesn't really justify having it enabled all the time. But yes, I do agree that them disabling it automatically during the upgrade was might have been a little harsh.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a proposed solution to the problem and the way this was implemented. And if you are using the XML RPC feature, which I've recently enjoyed using because I'm using a Firefox extension called Scribefire, where I can blog right from my browser, and I've got it tied into my WordPress installation through XML RPC. So it's been really nice for me. But in terms of the implementation, I've seen it proposed that it be changed around to where if in 2.5.1, if the feature is turned on and you upgrade to 2.6, there should be a check mark or a box that says, would you like to disable XML RPC because this is a potential security risk? You know, include like a little bubble, like a notification there that's part of the upgrade process. And then for all new default installations, I think it should be off by default because it's a security risk. And if they don't do it that way, maybe even on a default installation, they could include a little checkbox that says, would you like to enable this or disable it? I think that would have been a better way to go about it instead of people who are using it in 2.5 upgrade to 2.6 and it's automatically disabled. Now it's broke. It's not really broke. You just got to go in and you got to turn it back on. I just think that maybe with inexperienced users, it could be a problem.
Well, they've added a error that will send back saying, hey, this feature has been disabled. You have to go into your administration panel and enable it. So it's not if the implementation of XML RPC is correctly is correct, it will display that error to the user.
Now, the question I have is the XML RPC aspect of WordPress that really big of a security hazard that they have to do this, or are they just doing it for the betterment of the good of overall the good of boy, I don't know what I'm trying to say here is, you know, just is it really that big of a security issue? I mean, I know I've seen XML RPC exploits in security bulletins before, but has it been that bad where these guys have to disable it by default? That's an that's the decision now.
Well, in the discussion, and I kind of agreed, is that even if it's not, you want to decrease the amount of attack vectors. And so if you have, well, okay, take for example Windows Server 2008, the core. What the core does is it only enables what it's using and disables everything else, which decreases the amount of attackers. Let's say there's an exploit in the web server. If you're only using a MySQL server, that port is turned off, that service is turned off. You don't have to worry about it if there was ever an exploit found. I mean, if you worry about zero-day exploits being found for the XML RPC, you don't have to worry because it's disabled. And so the WordPress team can fix that in the next version. It will be corrected, but for those people who have it disabled, it won't be affected. And so they don't have to disable it before some hacker comes along and decides to hack them.
So is this what you would call security by obscurity?
No. Security by obscurity would be to rename the XML-RPC.
Okay, to something
PhD.
Nobody would... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's pretty much the coverage on that. I mean, it's been a big topic issue, and I know the guy who does Mars Edit isn't too happy. Of course, he has business interest in that feature, and, you know, if you are developing a third-party application that takes advantage of the XML RPC and WordPress and, you know, Drupal and some other publishing platforms also have a similar feature, and you have people installing the publishing software at a certain point, and it's going to be off by default, that has the potential to hurt your business. So I can understand his frustrations on that end, and it'll be interesting to see if this will help out WordPress's security record by having this disabled by default. And no, it would be interesting to see, to know, how many people use this feature, how many people publish to their site through a third-party blogging application versus going into the right panel. That would be kind of interesting to see in terms of stats. But I'm going to move on here to the next topic. I came across this next item from WP Candy, and it's a site called WP For Sale. I came across this via WP Candy. I hate repeating myself. But it's a website dedicated to providing WordPress premium users premium products and resources. Man, I need a beer. Helping WordPress designers and developers to sell their work. I'd liken it to a premium marketplace. WP For Sale is built and currently managed by Bernadotte Studios, which is a web design company based in Wisconsin. And I've got the website up on my notebook here, and I'm just browsing around here, and I've noticed that it's like a premium showcase. So anybody out there who's selling premium themes, premium plugins, icon packs, things that I guess you would consider premium, you'll find here. It's like a premium designer showcase, and they got a really nice carousel feature on the front page that showcases their latest products. If you click on one of their products, they have a detailed information page where you can view demos of themes. You can make comments on certain items. You can purchase items through their site. And overall, it's a pretty nifty-looking site for showcasing premium aspects, premium products for WordPress. So if you're looking for something that you want to pay for, WP For Sale would be the place to go. There's a lot of neat stuff on here, so keep that in mind. And, I see we've got some people tuned in here, called in, and I'll start with Brad. Brad, what's going on?
Yeah, I think this WP For Sale site is a great idea. I mean, it's I love any kind of organized repository where I can go and just kind of look at stuff. It's obviously still pretty new. I mean, they only have about 5 plugins. They have quite a few more themes, but I think it's a great site. I don't mind paying for a extremely useful plugin or a well-designed theme that's a little more unique than a lot of the free stuff out there. So I really hope to see this site kind of grow and mature and you know, get filled up with a lot of cool plugins and themes.
Yeah, and I think the aspect is it's a lot easier, or there's a lot more higher demand out there for premium themes than there are premium plugins. I mean, I don't even know of that many premium plugins available. And, you know, we've talked about this subject on this show a number of times as to when do we believe a premium plugin market will develop that is similar to the premium theme market, and I still don't have an answer for that. I believe it will happen sometime in the near future, but there's just so many free plugins out there that, you know, if there is a premium plugin, you can rest assured that someone's going to come in and create a free version of that plugin to undercut the sales of that. So I believe maybe that's why we're not seeing a premium plugin marketplace right now. But, you know, what do you think of the way they showcase the premium products on this site? I mean, isn't it kind of neat with the little carousel and everything?
Yeah, that is kind of cool. And I think they I could be wrong, but I think I saw that listed as a plugin that's for sale. Or maybe it was a theme. Yeah, it is a plugin that they have for sale, the WordPress Image Carousel plugin. So that's one of the ones you can actually buy. But, yeah, I think that is a pretty neat layout. And I really think the trend for premium plugins, like you said, it may never take off. But if it does, I think a lot of those plugins are going to be focused on monetization, you know, for your site, whether it be extremely advanced ad rotators or e-commerce, like what was mentioned in the chat room. Basically, anything that has to do with money, I think people are going to start trying to make money off of it.
And follow the money train. That's all you got to do. And Jacob Santos has called in. He's probably got an opinion here. Jacob, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just have one question. Is how much of a fee does that site charge for hosting the plugin theme? Is that information given?
I don't see a public place to actually submit, so I don't. It's not real obvious, at least, of how you submit these things. They have a contact form.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you would get your product listed onto their site. I mean, you know, I bet you would have to just contact them, let them know that you have something available, and they'll probably work with you through the contact form as to how to get your plugin or theme onto their site. And, you know, I'm gonna check something out here real quick. I'm gonna see what happens if I what is this? No, okay, now that took me to Brian Garner's actual webpage. And I'm trying to figure out if you purchase things through WP For Sale or if it's just a showcase for things that are that you pay
actually,
for.
Actually, clicked through on a couple themes, and the two that I looked at actually went to the theme author's website. So I would wonder if it's maybe just a flat fee they pay to be listed on the site rather than a, you know, a percentage based fee.
Yeah, there's either, well, do they have an about here? No, doggone it, they don't have an about page, which sucks.
That's
every single website on the net. Yeah. Well, it might even be the first. Well, what would be the first then?
Homepage.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I guess you can't have anything else without a homepage, but yeah, I'm looking at the, okay, so some of the themes. Now, this is interesting. If I'm clicking on the, I'm looking at the Revolution theme, Revolution Pro Business WordPress theme by Brian Gardner on WP for Sale. And if you click on the View Demo Purchase link, it's an eJunkie affiliate link. So they're making money somehow, whether it be through affiliates, whether it be for listing somebody's products.
If it's affiliate network, then it would be a percentage-based sale.
Yeah. So,
actually, on their contact form, they have a an option. Select a contact reason, and the first option is submit a premium WordPress resource. So looks like you just have to use their contact form if you want to be listed.
So it's almost as if they're developing a premium showcase, which they're trying to, I guess their argument would be, hey, we're getting a showcase that tons of people are going to come check out to browse all the different premium things available. Why don't you have your product down here, and in return, we set up a affiliate link towards your product so we can make a percentage on the sale.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how they're doing it.
Yeah. So take that, WP for a Sale. We figured out your business model. So
now all you need is a reputation. Enough popularity to crush them or at least give competition.
Yeah, it sounds like you need a beer too. Let's go out and get a six pack, man. I think that's
sure.
Where everybody else is tonight. Moving on to our next topic, the prize purse for the WLTC plugin competition was announced, and thanks to sizable donations from Matt Mulloway, barbecue tester himself, and the crew at Automatic, along with smaller donations from the community, the total prize purse for the WebLogToolsCollection.com plugin competition is now over $3,500. Now, how is that for a prize purse? For shouldn't that be enough inspiration to create a plugin? Now, if I where is it? Right here. Here it is.
I have a question. That's just to buy. Is that just to buy all the prizes, or is that going to go to the first place?
No, I've got. Well, here it is. Plug-in competition prizes. WLTC has donated $1,000. Automatic donated $1,000. Matt Mulloway donated $1,000. James and Andrew from Ink Sub have offered up a $250 for a plugin that is WPMU compatible. Jeff F. Morris donated $100. WindowsObserver.com donated Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas for the PC and Enemy Territory. Quake. Ooh, so even games are prizes. OIO Publisher has offered up 4 copies of their advertising plugin. BillyBoyLindian.com has donated $50 towards prizes. Blogalized has donated a 12-month blog club subscription from their site that's valued at $50. John Yunker has donated a copy of Country Codes of the World poster to the plugin contest winner. It's a value of $30. ClickFire.com has donated $50. And Kim Hun is a songwriter, get this, and is writing a song about WordPress. just for fun, and has offered to write a song and record it professionally in a studio for the winner of the WordPress plugin competition. I gotta imagine that would be a very interesting song. So, as far as I know, those are the prizes. It's over $3,500, but in terms of who would be awarded what, I'm not sure. I haven't seen a post that clarifies that yet. And as far as I know, there is somewhere around a dozen plugins that have been submitted to the contest so far. And it'll be interesting to see what happens later down the line when the contest rolls around, the judges trying everything out. I know I've been using one plugin that's entered into the competition, which I mentioned before, called WP Comet Remix. And although I love the plugin, I recently found out that when the plugin is enabled, I lose my Flash, my media manager, my image, my Flash-based image uploader. It breaks. And when I disable the plugin, it works again. So I've notified the plugin author, Jason, and boy, it's got to suck for a plugin author when, A, I don't have any error codes to give him because none are spit out at me, and B, he can't reproduce the problem on his end, and he's gotten a number of people, including myself, reporting these issues. So hopefully he'll get those taken care of before the contest is over with.
Did you give him the list of other plugins that you have installed?
No. But, you know, I know his plugin, though. When I deactivated his plugin, my image uploader worked. And then when I enabled it, it broke. So I've labeled it back down to his plugin. He's working on it now, along with some other issues. So we'll see what happens in the next couple days.
The life of a programmer.
I guess. And our next item, 123 Reg hacked. This one came across the wire not too long ago today when I was browsing the web looking for WordPress stories. And 123 Reg, the self-acclaimed largest web host in the UK, has had their WordPress-powered site hacked. Hacked is a little bit of a strong word in this case. The blog was hosted on a subdomain, and upon doing a Google search for terms such as Viagra and Cialis, which is performance-enhancing drugs, 123 Reg ended up in the search results, which is a clear indication that the hackers have injected code into their installation. According to a comment published on the blog who reported the issue, ppcblog.co.uk, a representative of 123 Reg has stated that the bug related to the issue had been fixed and they have become aware of the issue through Google Alerts, of all means. But, however, for the time being, the trail of destruction has been made with the search results already archived in Google. And if you click on the in the show notes, if you click on the link that the PPC blog has, you'll see a Google search result for you know, terms such as Viagra and Cialis, and you'll see that there's over 10 pages in Google of this blog having all of these injected ads and injected Viagra spam and all this other crap. So, I mean, it's already there in Google. They fixed the bug, so if you click on the link, it doesn't actually take you to a result. The page doesn't load, but the damage has been done, it looks like. And this is what happens, you know. Technorati, this is the reason why Technorati was removing so many blogs from their index, because they had all this spam crap in them. And this is what was going on with 2.3.3 blogs. If you don't upgrade, this is what can happen to you. And I don't know what the actual bug was. They didn't say, but I imagine it might have had something to do with negligence or, you know, some other issue where they were able to get in there and put stuff in there that shouldn't have been. So
this is great. I'm actually checking a couple of my sites right now using the query he used. So far, so good.
Yeah, and speaking of that, thanks for the segue there, Brad. Something has come along by Donica, who's the lead developer of WordPress MU. He's released the first version of his WordPress Exploit Scanner plugin, 0.1. This plugin searches the files on your site for a few known strings, sometimes used by hackers, and lists them with code fragments taken from the files. It also makes a few checks of the database, looking at the active underscore plugins blog option, the comments table, and the post table. It also allows the blog owner to search for whatever string they like, which could come in handy when new exploit code is used in a hack. So if anybody out there is wondering if their site's been hacked, if they have any kind of weird injection code or some kind of weird strings in their database or tables, Definitely download the WordPress Exploit Scanner plugin and give it a whirl. And hopefully you don't see any results. If you do, looks like you're in trouble. You're going to have to take care of that. But this is a nice little tool that Donica's made, and I was checking out the comments, and he's already gotten some good suggestions, and it looks like he's going to continue development on the WordPress Exploit Scanner. And I'm not sure what the difference is between this scanner and the scanner released by Blog Security, I think, has one. I don't know what the difference is between the two, but run them both if you want. I imagine it won't hurt.
I mean, I think what he's doing, and I have to take a look at the code to be sure, is that he probably has a whitelist, which those aren't, well, those can't be, those might not be all that reliable, depending on how he's trying to do the white code, whitelist. For the exploits. Or actually, it's not a whitelist, it's a blacklist. But, what's funny is that there was two people last year discussing making something like that, and I think the discussion ended by saying that it's probably better to just have a website that you upload a plugin to that checks it. But that was one of the other suggestions. So it might have taken over half a year, but someone finally done it.
So is this the equivalent of uploading a plugin and doing like a virus scan on your site? Is that kind of like a good analogy?
Yeah.
Or maybe a spyware scanner. Maybe it's a spyware scanner. Maybe that's a better analogy.
What's also interesting is that you can auto-update that a plugin. So if new, quote, definitions, end quote, come out, you can update.
So actually, it sounds, that's interesting. That sounds entirely like a spyware scanner. Maybe this could be the new LavaSoft adware, but for WordPress. It's called Exploit Scanner.
I'm gonna submit the WordPress antivirus plugin to the competition.
You could steal his code and, attribute to him, but say it was yours also. Did you read the WP Hackers List thread on that?
On the Exploit Scanner?
No. Some guy copied large portions of this guy's
blog. I read that today. Speaking of that, I was going to mention on last week's show, we had mentioned that the SEO all-in-one SEO plugin development had stopped. Somebody else picked it up. I've got it here. It says... The author behind the plugin WP Security Scan, we just talked about that, as well as the SMS text message plugin, he goes by the username of Halls of Montezuma, has picked up on the development of the all-in-one SEO plugin. The plugin can now be found on the Semperfy web design website. Actually, that's unrelated to what you're talking about. A guy by the name of Joost DeValk, he's really big into SEO and WordPress. I believe he made a robots.txt file, and another user has come along and has created a fork of the all-in-one SEO plugin called Platinum SEO Pack. And apparently this robots.txt file and his plugin has large portions of the robots.txt file that Joost DeValk had created without giving proper attribution. So, Joost DeValk... Yeah.
I need to kick a guy's ass.
So, apparently from the discussion I saw, he didn't give proper attribution, which ignited a firestorm of discussion revolving around the GPL and GPL version 3, and if you have to give attribution or if you don't, and since it was under GPL, if you don't have to do anything because it's all GPL. And apparently Juice DeValk was making a, I believe it was a copyright infringement claim because of so much of the copyrighted text or code in the robots.txt file, which was being used in his plugin. It was an interesting issue. I've been reading into it. I think he's going to send a report. Actually, someone asked, how do you manage situations like this? And someone said, well, you have to go to WordPress.org, plug in bug reports or something like that, and actually send them an email through there to get the plugin taken down. Other people have said that if that doesn't work, you'll have to send the guy a DMCA takedown notice, a fall thing. So I have asked Juice DeValk, by the way, to come on the show. He's agreed to come on the show. I just haven't got a date for him yet. So hopefully sometime soon here in the near future I can get him on and he'll be able to discuss more in depth as to what happened, how he handled that situation. But moving on here, WordPress 2.6 Beta 1 was released, but as I've noted earlier, Beta 2 is now out there in the wild. But Ryan Boren, lead developer of WordPress, announced on Monday that the first beta for WordPress 2.6 was released. Now, 2.6 won't be as big of a release as 2.5, but you can expect such features as post revisions, better SSL support for the admin, drag-and-drop sortable galleries, customizable default avatars, and much more. You know, these guys are already on Beta 2, so it seems like everything is going pretty smoothly, which means that the beta period continues to go well. Expect to see WordPress 2.6 near or on July 7th. If not, look for it on or around July 14th. Have you, Brad, or Jacob, been able to play around with the beta at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't downloaded it or touched it. I read over the updates are going to be on it, and there's a couple that caught my eye. The post revision is one of them. That'll be a great feature. And the theme preview, and have you read any more about that? I'm curious what exactly they're talking about there.
Apparently, on WordPress.com, there's a nifty little way to preview themes.
Is that where you live demo them? You click the demo link and it basically reskins the site you're looking at, so you can see how the theme looks.
Yeah, I'm heading over to WordPress.com. I'm going to log in and I'm going to do this live. And here we go. Going to, as soon as I can figure out how to get into my blog. Here we go. My dashboard, folks. This is live radio. No, wait a minute. Live internet radio. Sorry about that. let's see here. Design. Now, if I click on a design, it looks like if you click on a design here on WordPress.com when you're trying to change your theme, if you click on the theme, in a light box type of action, it'll show like a full page preview of the site. I don't see what the big deal is. It doesn't actually show a preview of your site's content with the theme on it.
It's just a static image of the theme.
Yeah, but if you click on the image, it shows like via light box, it shows you a full
Well, I mean, that would be pretty interesting.
Image. I don't know. It seems kind of wacky.
Yeah, I kind of like where it just themes the site you're on, rethemes it so you can view it kind of as a real site.
Yeah, I haven't been able to play around with the beta. I will say that I've been playing around with the WordPress 2.6 demo site, and I've been playing around with the Press This bookmarklet, which has been completely revamped. My experience with it so far has been bad because when I click on it, it opens up in a Firefox window, which is opens up to a certain size. I can't resize it. Some of the content on the side of the window is cut off. I can't access it. and I really don't understand yet how to use it. Now, it might have been I was using the Press-It bookmarklet, you know, as it's being developed, so I might have used it too early. You know what I should do? I should really go ahead and download the beta right now and give it a shot, see if it's any different. But, you know, so far I haven't been able to have much success with it. But I'll report on that next week. Oh, wait a minute. No, I won't, because next week is July 4th, and me, like many other Americans, will be celebrating America's heritage with beer or alcohol and fireworks.
And fireworks.
Which isn't
together.
A good combination. But, yeah, so the beta's been released, and it shouldn't be too long now since we'll have 2.6 coming out. So look for that either on July 7th or July 4th if everything goes on well. And, you know, that's actually, from what I've heard, a month ahead of time. I heard 2.6 was originally scheduled for August, which means the chances are good that we might see three big version releases in 2008, which would be the second year in a row that that has happened. So how about that? And the last item we're going to talk about today, if I can browse to it, is a little something called Crazy Horse. If you've been subscribed to my blog, you know what Crazy Horse is. Let me hear. It's I first heard about this on the SVN mailing list, also known as Subversion. But it's a new branch of WordPress called, nicknamed Crazy Horse, which will be used by the Automattic team to develop and test user interface designs. Now, this branch is separate from WordPress itself so as to create a sandbox for experimentation. The UI changes which are found within this branch will then be tested via a UI testing facility where they use all kinds of cool special lasers to figure out how a particular person uses the software. And I imagine that any of the good user cases that are discovered in these in the sandbox will then be transferred over into the actual core of WordPress that everybody uses. I've seen this being reported as a version of WordPress that everybody's going to use. That's not the case. That's not accurate. I've seen this reported as the next version of WordPress, which is going to be released, and they nicknamed it Crazy Horse. That's not true. All this is a separate branch that they can maintain where they can do all kinds of different usability testing while leaving the original branch alone. Jacob, you've read about this sandbox implementation, and would you kind of agree with my overall observation as to what Crazy Horse is going to be all about?
Yeah, you gave a very, very accurate representation of what Crazy Horse is. That is to say, not everything in Crazy Horse is going to make it into the official WordPress core.
And there might have been a little bit of confusion because I posted a screenshot of the right panel from that PDF file where it was showing like the user interface mock-up there of the right panel. And I don't know, maybe some people thought it was a screenshot from what the right panel is going to look like in the new version of WordPress. There might have been some confusion there, but all that screenshot really is it's taken from a WordPress prototype PDF document, which shows a mock-up of the user interface for the right panel. You know, just one of probably many mock-ups that exist. And the PDF file is pretty interesting because it'll allow you to get a deeper understanding as to the user interface and the things that are labeled on the screenshot, for example. In the actual PDF file, you'll see detailed descriptions as to what that button, why it's there, and what its purpose is. Did you get a chance to look at that PDF file, and if so, did you find it rather interesting?
Oh, yeah. I thought some elements were neat, while others were not so neat.
Now, and yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. If you look at this right post panel here on the blog post I put up, this screenshot, you'll see that on the right side, it almost looks like the right panel from 2.3. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you've got your categories in the sidebar to the right of the post editor. Then you got your tags over there, preview post button. It just seems to remind me of 2.3.
That might have been the intention over the beating that Automatic and the WordPress core team received over the right panel in 2.5, but I disagree with what a lot of people have said about the 2.5 right panel.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about Crazy Horse. That's what it is. It's nothing more than a sandbox where the guys at Automatic and the dev team for WordPress can test different user interface implementations, and if any of them work out for the best user cases overall, that's what we'll see included in the core of WordPress that we all use. And, you know, hey, guess what? That's pretty much, well, I got to go over some feedback before we get to the end of the show here, but just for a little bit of feedback, Darren Hoyt, he's here in the chat room. Thank you for stopping by, but he left a comment on the previous episode about how he had fun on the show. Justin Tadlock left a comment about the SEO plugin and how he was one of the first to vote down the idea of adding it to the core. He believes something like this should be left to plugins and themes. This launched a brief conversation with Justin in the comments about how much you can optimize a WordPress theme for SEO, and Justin responded with a lengthy reply, which I encourage all of you to read in the comments for episode 20. Pretty good read there. As for guest appearances, I will be interviewing Douglas Bell on Friday, July 18th, 2008. Douglas Bell is an avid WordPress user, big WordPress fan, uses WordPress on his site, lives out near the San Francisco area, has attended a few WordCamps. He actually has Matt Mullenweg's cell phone number, so that's who he is, and I'm going to be bringing him on to talk about. We're just going to have a general conversation about WordPress, how he's used it, what he likes about it. Just kind of have a discussion there between two guys, two avid fans of the WordPress publishing platform. And on Friday, July 11th, 2008, I will be having Alex King on the show. Alex King is the guy behind CrowdFavorite, a crowdsourcing company, and he's also behind the Share This plugin and many, many popular WordPress plugins that a lot of us use every single day. So Alex King will be on the show Friday, July 11th. Mark down your calendars, and I'm sure that'll be a pretty good show. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for spending some of their Friday evening here on the show in the chat room. Pata, thanks for stopping by. I see Charles Strickland's managed to get some free time and stop by the show. Darren, thanks for chiming in here in the chat. Hans, I like that. It's from Die Hard, the guy named Hans. Hans Engel stopped by. Thanks for stopping by and being in the chat. Brad, thanks for calling in from New Jersey. Guest number 5 who stopped by via Twitter. Thank you very much for being part of the show. Hope you enjoyed it. And Jacob Santos, thank you for stopping by the show and offering your input. This concludes this episode of WordPress Weekly. I'd appreciate any feedback you may have in regards to the show. You can visit www.jeffro2.0.com, click on the contact link located at the top of the site, or leave a comment on the blog post dedicated to this episode. And by the way, last night I finally dove in and made the header image on my blog clickable so that it links back to the home page. Let me tell you, lots and lots of people do not like it when the header image of a website or logo does not act as a link to take you back to the home page. Very, very frustrating based on the feedback I've received. So I fixed that. Leave me alone. I'm just kidding. Until the week after, I will be at a pig roast the 4th of July. I'll probably be a little intoxicated, so even though that would possibly be a funny show, I'm not going to be doing a show next week. Obviously, everybody else will be enjoying their 4th of July Friday. So I won't be doing a show that week, but I will be doing a show the week after that, which would be let's see here. That would be the Alex King episode. So the next time we do WordPress Weekly, that will be the week Alex King's on, the week of July 11th. So until then, everybody have a good week. Have an awesome 4th of July. Please do not drink and drive. And have a good one. So long, everybody.